Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. My guest for the preponderance of our time is Cynthia Oduwale. She is the overseer and hands-on minister of God's Victorious Children's Ministry in the city of Philadelphia. Cynthia hails from the African nation, I believe, of Ghana, and I am so pleased to have her with us on the broadcast. First, however, we continue apace as we look at the book of Proverbs, what Proverbs has to say concerning the righteousness of God, the very righteousness that is meant to suffuse and to flesh out the lives of God's people. We understand from this book that there is the person of God. He himself is righteous, even as he is holy, even as he is true, even as he is just, even as he is, by definition and by way of his person, love itself. So there is the person of God who is righteous. There are the promises of God, and they are all grounded in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. All of the promises of God we read in Scripture are not yes and no. Rather, they are all yes, and a resounding yes, by way of Jesus Christ, to the glory of God and to the Amen, as the Apostle Paul puts it. And concerning these promises, again grounded in his righteousness, we have the promise of his presence. We have the promise of his plan, a plan for our lives by which we shall do well within godly terms. There is his power. There is his peace. Christ says, I don't give to you as the world gives. I give to you my peace. And he gives us his wisdom. And if we don't have wisdom, it may very well be because we have not asked for it. Scripture makes that very plain. God will grant to those who ask him for it. He will grant to us wisdom. I know this from firsthand experience. And we also have the promise and the assurance of the love of God. How great is the love of God! Neither death, nor pestilence, nor famine, nor sword shall separate us from his love. Indeed, the Apostle Paul prays that you and I, who might look to him, who do look to him, who would look to him, that we might know how high, how wide, how long, how deep is the love of Christ, and that we shall know this love experientially, this love that passes all understanding. But now we've been talking more directly concerning what we can call, and I do call, the predicates of divine righteousness, the substantiation of his righteousness in our lives. A righteous man or woman is a man or woman of righteous desire. A man or woman or child who bears forth righteous fruit. There is the root of righteousness that we must be mindful of. And there is a way of righteousness. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, talked to us about the way. He said that there is a way or a path that is narrow and small. And frankly, he said, few find it. And then there is a path or a way that is wide and broad. And that way is the road to destruction and to hell. But for the righteous, there's a very specific way. That way, of course, is Christ. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, says Jesus. We read of that in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There are the thoughts of the righteous, the things that we think. Are we thinking in fleshly or carnal or worldly terms? Are we engaged in internal duplicity and machination as to how we can get ahead. Are we motivated by self, as distinct from the welfare of those around us, as distinct from the glory of God? There are the thoughts of the righteous, and the Bible says that God knows and reads the hearts of all men. And we know of him that his ways, his thoughts, are not the same as ours. And therefore God has said, I hold this against you. You thought that I was just as you were. My ways are higher than your ways, says God through the prophet Isaiah. My thoughts are different from your thoughts. And as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they bring a replenishment to the earth, so does my word go forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me empty. And there is the heart of the righteous. What moves and motivates a man or a woman or a child who has come of age? What are our motivations? This is why the great King David, in one of his Psalms, sought the Lord and prayed, Lord, search me and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, that you may know that your love is ever before me, and I walk continuously in your truth. This was no less than King David. Praise God for David. Praise God for Moses. Praise God for the Apostle Paul. These were men, the Apostle Peter, men who, for all of their frailties and foibles and fallenness, they sought God, and they sought the righteousness that is to be had in him. They sought to be light, and the book of Proverbs does speak, please, of the light that is meant to be invested in the lives of the righteous. I love what Jesus said, please. He spoke of himself, of course. He says, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Christ is the light, and those of us who walk in him, his light illuminates and enlightens our lives. I have come, he said, as a light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not obey them, I do not judge him, for I have not come to judge the world, not yet, not in that first appearance, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not accept my words has a judge. The word I have spoken will judge him. It is always my pastoral contention that for any of us seeking after God, we would do well to ask God for his word and his spirit to cast their light upon us. So if there be any darkness within us, it can be exposed and expelled, so that the light of God can flow forth and filter through all of the sinews and arteries and corners and coves of our lives. God is light, and we are called to be light as well. From the Apostle John, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet keep on walking in the darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we do not bear the guilt of sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, forgiving us our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. The great contingency, the word if, all those monosyllabic words of a few letters, how powerful and potent they can be, for better or worse. If, from the Old Testament, the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, if my people who are called by my name, if they seek after me, if they turn from their wicked ways, if they pray to me, then will I hear them from heaven Then will I forgive their sin. Then will I hear their land. Heal, forgive me, their land. The great if. If we walk in the light, as Christ himself is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And again, the blood of Christ, it's like a windshield wiper. It continuously flows back and forth, cleansing and cleaning. The blood of Jesus cleanses us like windshield wipers from all of our sin, praise God. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of all of it and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, thereby allowing the light to pour into our lives. The predicate of righteousness is the light of Christ, alive and well and at work in and through our lives, by which others can look to us as light posts or signposts. Praise God. This is Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey, returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It is my pleasure to be joined by a very dear and lovely, indeed a deeply devoted and earnest lady in the cause of Christ, especially amongst the needs of children for the gospel of Jesus. Her name is Cynthia Oduwale, and I know Cynthia through my work with the Philadelphia Bible Society, and she oversees a marvelous ministry called God's Victorious Children's Ministry. It plays out within and throughout the city of Philadelphia, and it has within its framework and within its sights children over in Africa as well. Cynthia, I do welcome you to our broadcast.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Cynthia Sampon Oduwale from Monrovia, Liberia, and I'm operating from Philadelphia, and with the children. I've been doing this for years, and I'm happy to be on here today.
We are delighted and honored. And Cynthia, my apologies. I inadvertently said initially that you were from Ghana. I stand corrected. You are from Liberia. Do forgive me, please.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Cynthia, please, we like to get to know you. And of course, we are here to impart the message of the gospel. You know as well as do I that such an impartation is in part a spoken word, or for that matter, a printed word, but it is a word that is to be embodied by the very texture of our lives. So would you share with us something of your personal story of faith, how you came to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, how you came to be invested in the ministry of the gospel?
I was born into a Christian family. I was baptized in the Episcopal Church in Liberia, and that's where I grew up, in the Episcopal Church. And I started doing ministry by like 10 years old. I would leave church and go upstairs where the children Sunday school was, and I would take by my own Kool-Aid. I used to make Kool-Aid and cookies and pick it up for the children and help to teach. And the Sunday school teacher was there. She's dead now, but you know, God had been calling me all this time. Like, I was 10 years old, and I would go there and help to teach, help to feed, bring the snacks in and everything on my own. And I grew up doing that. And then I got baptized, confirmed in the Episcopal Church. And then later I got married to a reverend. And I continued my ministry with children in Liberia. On Sundays, I would gather kids in my house, teach them the word of God, and feed them. And I have 9 kids of my own who I taught the word of God. I have 5 boys and 4 girls, and they are all successful. My oldest child is a medical doctor at UPenn, and they all know the word. I have the 4 boys and the 5 girls. The last is in the 8th grade. All of them know the word. All of them can teach. All of them can preach. And I praise God for that. So we are a family serving God. Then I started doing it in my house again in Philadelphia, having Sunday school.
Well, if I may, Cynthia, forgive me, if I may interject, when did you take your leave before we get into Philly? When did you take your leave from Liberia?
Well, I came here 2000 November.
So you have been...
My husband came in.
You've been here about 24 years then. Well, may I ask you as well, and I do beg your pardon, sometimes when we can't see one another, there'll be a little overlap with our thoughts, and I beg your pardon. What prompted you to leave Africa and come to the States?
You know, we had a civil war going on in Liberia for 15 years. It started in 1990. It was a coup d'etat. The president got overthrown. And this civil war raged on for 15 years. And I was able to come here in 2000. And then we had kids, four children. And when I came over in 2000, we worked towards bringing them over. And they came in 2002. And we brought four of them. We have four, and I have five more here. Making it nine kids in all, yes.
And now over the last 24 years, have you had opportunity to return to Liberia or given the conditions that has proven to be prohibitive?
So I came on asylum. I came and I got asylum. So I could not go back for some time, but then I got my, I could not go back with asylum until you get your paperwork straightened out. But I got everything straightened on down. But nevertheless, I continue to do ministry here with kids, doing Sunday school in my house, having summer camp, going around feeding kids, inviting prayer group people from another ministry to come over pray with kids. During the summertime, I would do that, also feed kids and all like that. And now I extended it to Liberia also 2 years ago. I've been sending clothes, food, and educating kids. Because I'm an educator and a teacher of the word. Both of my parents were educators. Dr. G.
Well, Cynthia, let me ask you, and I want to come back to your parents.
Yes.
Let me ask you, with what played out, because I want to lay the foundation for you before our audience, if you will, spiritually, before we enter into the specifics of your ministry.
Yes.
And we'll begin to explore those. I'm grateful for the overview that you've just shared.
Yes.
But coming out of a crisis situation, having to leave your country and travel to the other side of the world, how did this affect or otherwise influence your Christianity? Was it a crisis of faith? Did you draw upon your faith and you found you grew stronger in your Christianity? Tell us about this.
Yes, I grew stronger because I knew where I came from. It was a matter of life and death. You could have died any moment because there were rockets flying everywhere, short landing, over landing, and people were dying. And I had the opportunity to live. And I came over and I continued with what God put in me. He put in me the ministry to do what He asked me to do, feeding and helping the poor. And I've been doing that, just continue to do what God has put in me.
Well,
Having
met you and spent some time with you, what I discerned very easily, I might add, it didn't take a deep level of discernment. I saw very clearly that you come over here and have invested here with a depth of earnestness. You clearly have an earnestness for Christ. You clearly have a depth of love for the children. That is so evident to me. But you mentioned your parents. I assume that your parents were committed believers as well?
Yes. Both of my parents were Christian. Both of them were Episcopalian. And my father was education minister. He was president of university and colleges. He served his whole life in education. He always taught us the book God first and then education next. So both of my parents, my father died in 2011. So I formed this foundation in his name to honor him for all his hard work in education, the field of education. And then I went to Drexel University and I got a master's degree in education. And I went to Jimison School of Ministry here in Philadelphia and I was ordained a minister. And over in Liberia, I went to the MBTC, Monroeville Bible Training Center, where they taught us was the Pentecostal way, you know, of life, of ministry. They taught us that. And so I have all of that in me from the beginning, and I know that I've been called, because a lot of people have said that, who didn't even know me, that I'm called.
You are clearly a well-grounded and well-motivated and well-led and called lady. I praise God. Cynthia, we must take a break. Brad Lacey and Cynthia Oduwale of God's Victorious Children's Ministry in Philly. We return together in just a moment. Thank you.
This program is paid for by First Baptist Church of Conshohocken.
Brad Lacey and Cynthia Oduwale of God's Victorious Children's Ministry in Philadelphia, returning for another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Cynthia, you have shared with us of your background in Africa, your upbringing in the faith of Jesus Christ, your sense of calling and equipping for ministry. And here in the city of Philadelphia, otherwise known as the city of brotherly love, you bring the love of Christ to children, no doubt to many, many others, their parents, their wider or extended families, but you target children. So tell us about God's Victorious Children's Ministry.
So God's Victorious Children's Ministry started in my home with my own kids. So I taught my kids the word and scripture and made them to memorize it and be able to explain it. And then I brought other kids into my home, and we all helped teach them, because my kids had to be equipped first before they could help me out teach the other kids. So I did Sunday school for years in my house, because I was trying to find a place out, you know, to do it, like a home or a room in the park or so. I couldn't, so I just continued to do that for years in my house. And I helped other people learn, taught other people how to do it, also how to teach. I brought a lot of people in to my home to help train kids, and kids from all backgrounds, whether they're Muslims or none, I brought them in. Even the Muslims, they came in. And after that, from the Sunday school, I did the after school summer feeding, and I brought Muslims, everybody in. So if the Muslims came in and I asked them to do certain things, like, you know, pray, or so they said, oh, I cannot pray. I said, okay, but then since you can't pray, can you read the scripture for me? I will hold the scripture up on the banner, and they will read the scripture for me. And I knew these kids because I work in the Philadelphia School District, and I knew them, and they were all happy to come in and help, you know, with the work of God, to play. I had time to play, time to teach, time to eat. Everything was organized for me, and that's how it started.
Was this something that played out all day, or was it prescribed within an hour or two? How did this play out?
So in my home, it was like from 3 to 5, or sometimes 6. Mm-hmm. But after, you know, summertime, the summer was a summer camp too. Summer camp was like from in the morning until like 3. I had kids coming in and out, eating, teaching them, and doing different activities with them, coloring. I put them into different groups and taught them. And I had other people coming in to teach them the word of God, and showing them some games and all like that, reading scripture and all that. Most things were all there with me, and I taught them. That's how it started.
Yeah, Cynthia, you've done something. In fact, in my opening homily, we accentuated the light of righteousness in the life of a believer. There's one other, what I call predicate of righteousness. I'm wishing now that I had done it today and saved light for next week. That other predicate of righteousness is the house of the righteous, where a righteous man or woman dwells. Therein does God himself dwell, and his or her temple for God, it becomes light to those around them. Your house literally became a light post, or a guidepost, or a signpost for people to learn of the goodness and glory of God. I mean, you opened your home to your neighbors in order to introduce them to Jesus Christ. That is such a compellingly faithful and beautiful thing to do. May I ask you, I have no doubt that you have, as you give forth blessing, that you have experienced blessing back. Tell us about how you have been blessed as you have so lent yourself and your home to Christ and his people.
So by so doing, I've been blessed to see kids walk uprightly before God, fear God, the kids that I brought in.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will give me things to share. People will come in, give me clothes, food, and all, and I will share with the kids when they come in. There was a particular place in Philadelphia, it's closed down now. I forgot the name. Because of that, the lady name was Carrie, and she would call me and give me a lot of clothes, shoes. That's where people used to take things to her. And because she knew what I was doing, she would call me every week and give me a lot of stuff, clothes, shoes, food, you name it, for children. And I would take it to bring it to the house and share with kids. I was blessed in that way. And I was a blessing. And my prayer is, God make me a blessing. God bless me to make me a blessing. And I still do that.
What I love to hear, Cynthia, and I praise God for this, and all the more I say, may God bless you. When I ask you how you have been blessed in return, in answering the question, your focus remains upon the souls before you. What that tells me is that you are a true shepherd. A shepherd never loses sight of the welfare of the sheep. A shepherd takes delight and gives glory to God for blessing to the sheep. I can speak as a pastor. There's nothing that means more to me than when I see one of my congregants blessed of God or being used of God. That's better than money. It's better than riches or material anything. Okay. To see those entrusted to your care prospering. That's what you've just told me, and I praise God for the integrity of who you are.
Amen.
Now, you speak of working with other people. Who are these other people? Did they come in through other churches? Were they members of your family? Who are they?
The main one is Jeannie Dennis. I think she'd been on your radio station before. She got converted to me, and she was always there learning from me as I worked with the kids. So through that, she learned from me, and we worked with kids, and we started working with the homeless. We got a homeless shelter in West Philly that she and I then go to feed the homeless and give them clothes and whatever God lays in our hands. And so she worked, so she got into ministry through that. And I brought word on her that she's going to do ministry, and she, you know, she would do the stuff she's doing now, the things of God. She was on before with you because she told me she was in with you before. Jeannie Dennis and some other ladies that I trained also, they came in and they branched off on their own now.
Okay, well, extensions in a way of the work that you're doing. It's all in complement. We're never competitors, are we? Servants of Christ, we're always working in complement one to the other. That's my desire, my goal, my experience.
Yes.
Cynthia, tell me, with what you're now doing,
yeah,
what do you need? You're telling us what you're doing, but tell us what you need. How could members of the audience potentially be helpful or supportive of you?
So right now, I work with the kids in Liberia, and I see them bi-monthly, I mean. So on Saturdays, they are fed. I have people on the ground, Sample Foundation, they feed them bi-monthly. They go there and they learn the Word of God. They teach them how to pray and live right. And then during the summertime when school is closed, I keep them busy. I pay teachers in Liberia to go to the house and to teach them five times a week. Every week I keep them busy. I have people training them, praying with them, teaching them values and the things of God. That's what I do. And if someone needs help with tuition, I send it. You know, I have a Facebook page for that called Stompon Foundation in honor of my father. So if someone donates anything, I send it. I send clothes. I send food, non-perishable goods. I send it home for them. I ship things that people give me. I spend my own money and ship to kids who need these things. And people always say, thank God for you. You are a blessing. And one lady called my mom, and she didn't even call me. She was just following me on Facebook. And she called me Queen Cynthia. Queen Cynthia is doing so well. I love what she's doing, helping the kids out. And she told my mom, she didn't even call me to tell me that. So my mom called me and told me, and I said, you know, all glory and honor belongs to God. Because when I do something, I don't boast. And I just gave God the glory for, you know, what people say. And everyone says, thank you. I have a page on Facebook.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Cynthia, you have profoundly and pronouncedly large borders that encompass the city of Philadelphia, both children and the homeless, and also the other side of what we call the pond in Africa. I think it's all because you have a very enlarged heart, and I praise God that God has blessed you and granted you this inclination or disposition. It is all to the glory of God. We return with one final round of the great message in just a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Cynthia Oduwale of God's Victorious Children's Ministry in Philadelphia. Cynthia is a dear and earnest lady for Christ who hails from Liberia on the continent of Africa. She has fully invested herself in reaching out to children in the cause of Christ within the city precincts. She has seen her ministry enlarged to reach the homeless as well, and she continues to reach back to her homeland of Liberia. It's an extraordinary ministry. This is an extraordinary lady. Cynthia, you're so very humble. You keep your eye on the ministry. You keep your eye on Christ, and there's such a beautiful and productive humility to your life. So let me ask you, because I know you're going to respond humbly but boldly, okay? You come to the States from Africa. I've had opportunity to have relationships with any number of African Christians. Your context is different. You've been born and bred into the gospel in a differing circumstances. And oftentimes when Christians from the other side of the world come here, they can be acclimated and yet also disappointed. And so my question to you is, coming to the States from Africa, what do you see of the American church? What are we doing right? Where do you think we need to pick up the pace, or do we need to repent? But what's your perception of the Christianity here in the United States?
Well, I see Christianity in a way like this. People go to church, right? But I don't know if they're studying the word. They just go to church, hear the message, and I don't know if they are applying it. And I think kids need to be taught the word, like when there should be a children's church, you know, Sunday school, that kids will be taught the word and they will memorize and they take scriptures home to study and they come back like a school. And when they come back, each person should be able to say two or three scriptures on their own by not looking at a book, at a Bible, but memorize it. For example, say Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Know it, because the word of God says, know it, let it be in you. But one day there will be no Bibles, but what is in you is in you. Nobody can take it away from you. If you know what God is saying, that will be in you. So kids need to be taught more the word and to have faith and to live by faith. They just shall live by faith. I came here in this country only $20. And now God has blessed me exceedingly, abundantly, above all I can ask or think. He has blessed me with more than I came with. So let them know the word and stand on faith, that don't give up. A lot of people gave up. Maybe they don't when their jobs are taken away or they fail a test or so, they gave up. But if you have that faith, as small as a mustard seed, it can, you know, you're going to progress. Don't give up. Don't kill yourself. Let kids know that God is there. It's a God. You know, don't turn to anything else. Guns not going to solve the problems. People get angry. They turn to the guns, want to hurt people and all of that. But if you know God, not just going to church, know what God is saying, you know, you're not going to do that. Do those things I see a lot of kids doing. You know,
I think as a Pentecostal, you understand the presence and operative power of the Holy Spirit. I think where the Spirit of God is present and given place, that it creates in the very least a restraining influence from human corruption. So there's less inclination or even aptitude to pick up a gun and more to turn towards more constructive endeavor. But so few people understand this anymore. There's been such a mass exodus here in the United States, the mass profoundly declining numbers of people who are professing believers in Jesus Christ. The church has taken a massive hit internally, externally, but there are ladies like yourself who help to stem the tide and to hold the line. Let me ask you, I believe you operate out of South or Southwest Philly, but I think you cover wider territory still. Are there churches in the city of Philadelphia that are helpful to you, that you would look to for help or support or partnership even?
None of them. No, I can't find no church that's helpful to me. Unless, like I said, if I know people and they donate something to me and I share it out, but no church is helpful to me.
Are you a member of a church, or do you your church is essentially your ministry horizons?
My church, I attend the Catholic Church, and I have my own separate ministry that I do with kids. But they don't do that. Everything, if it's not from the Catholic Church, they don't support it. So if you're doing anything, you're on your own. But I go there and do what God wants me to do. I'm a lector there, and I'm a Eucharistic minister. I take communion outside to the poor, to the sick and shut in, rather, and I read the word there. But they're not going to help you outside the Catholic Church. So everything I do is from, you know, what God blesses me with.
Yeah, and it's not just Catholicism. Unfortunately, it's true also of the Protestant churches, even evangelical churches. They're preoccupied, and perhaps with very good work, but preoccupied with what they're doing. You're operating in a more independent way. You know, in the world of commerce, we have what are called independent contractors, and they're well-received and often well-paid. Within the framework of the kingdom of God, it's the overt support is not always there. But then again, Cynthia, knowing you as I do, you don't look to man, you look to God for all that you need. Am I right?
Yes.
That being said, it would be so helpful if others would step up. But, you know, I want you to hear this. 6+ years ago, I awoke one morning, and I don't often lay in bed, but that morning I happened to be just resting a little bit. And I heard the voice of God, Spirit, speaking to Spirit. And he said to me, and I quote, "You will look to me for everything you need." And I didn't fully know what that meant. I came to understand what it meant, and over time, even 6 years later, the definition of what it meant continued to widen. But at every turn, God met my every need, yeah. And I think that you experienced something similar. Let me ask you, Cynthia, you've got about 30 seconds, okay, because we'll have to close up shop, but with 30 seconds at hand, what would your final word be to our listenership?
My final word would be give when you can, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. So the word of God says, do not hold back from your neighbor what you have in your hand to give. If you know you can help somebody, if someone needs help supporting a child, doing sending money overseas. Just do it out of your kindness of your heart, and don't judge. Say, oh, if I give money, they're not going to do this, they're not going to do that. Because I hear a lot of people saying, even my friends, oh, I don't give to help anybody because they call for money and they don't do what they do. But you know me and you know what I do. But when you need help, you come to me. But you know what I'm doing. I put it on. I say, help somebody. No help is wasted. No help is in vain. And I put it up there. And when people give, I put it up there. Yes.
Yes. Cynthia, I can attest to your character, to your worthiness, and to the fruit of your labors. Cynthia, yes. Oduwale, we are so grateful for your time. God's Victorious Children's Ministry. This is Brad Lacey. Cynthia and I are so grateful to have you today. We bid you God's blessing in every way. Do take care.